Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
WrestleCon, WrestleMania, in New Orleans, folks, as wrestling fans, I'm sure you're drooling and your mind is imploding on what to do if you actually have the opportunity to be there right now. And what you're doing, you're listening to Pin Their Shoulders Podcast. So God bless you. I'm Serious Brad, host of Pin Their Shoulders Podcast. And of course, alongside me, I always have one of my round table, you know, correspondents, and tonight we have Jordan J.R. Garber hanging out with us. How's it going, sir?
Oh, man. I am doing fantastic. I am breathing in the atmosphere of everyone listening from around the world, sharing everything that we in all have in common, and that is pro wrestling. And that means another week of podcasting on Pin the Shoulders Podcast. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Absolutely, Daddy Diggs. You know what, folks? We're just going to go ahead and get straight to our interview this week, folks. He is hitting it hard on the independent scene right now, hanging out with people like Sami Callihan, pushing the weights, doing his thing, and making sure that his name is known. But if you don't know it, it is showtime, Matthew Palmer. Sir, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. How is everything going with you?
Everything's doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
What's that? Absolutely, man. And, you know, glad to have you back. What's going on with you? Last time you were on the show, you were hanging out in Texas doing some work with Wrestling Circus. Is it true that you actually have moved on from Texas and are now stationed out of Orlando?
Yeah. So I had to move to Orlando some time ago, actually. My wife got hired by NXT, so it was either let her leave me or move with her. So I moved with her, and
I'm in
Orlando now. Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah, and folks listening at home, if you don't know who he is talking about, he is talking about the current NXT Women's Champion, Ember Moon. How is she doing, sir? It must be pretty awesome
doing
to have.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's cool to have, like, a wife who is also a wrestler, and, you know, she accomplished her dreams by making it to WWE. But honestly, once we walk in the house and the door shuts, we have to just kind of shut it off. Because
right.
wrestling will consume your life, and, like, it doesn't consume your life in a positive way. You know, it's just like there's nothing's worse than sitting at home and talking about wrestling, and then have to wake up the next day and then go perform wrestling and just come home and just repeat the cycle. Because then you start hating wrestling because you can't enjoy anything else. So, like, after 10 hours of her wrestling at the PC and training, she'll come home and, like, we don't talk about it that much.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have room to talk about, you know, what's going on with Walking Dead. And, of course, you know what new flavors is happening at the Froyo stand. It's important things in life that need to have a spotlight every once in a while.
Yeah. And a lot of the times it's her shutting me up because I'd be like, hey, you know what would be a cool idea? And then it's just like me spouting off this ridiculous comic book style storyline. And then she's just like, shut up, man. Shut up. I'm sorry.
My bad. I apologize. We'll just erase that. Control all delete.
Exactly. I just like, I didn't get to pitch a storyline to that. You did.
No, well of course we're gonna be asking you what's going on right now later in the show with her mindset with NXT takeover happening right now. But I have to ask you, sir, you're actually the 2017 Pancakes and Pile Drivers winner. and you're going into 2018. What's happening with this scramble this year? I know you just did a video online saying that you have no idea who's going to be in the scramble. All you know is it's going to be, you know, 8 to 9 men, and you're just going to have to do your thing.
Yeah. Like, usually, it's Sammy Callahan's show. He runs it with his brother. And so I was like, hey, Sammy, what's going on? Who am I wrestling? And he just responds back with 8 or 9 guys. Like, it just pissed me off. It was like, you wait for my match to be the last one you advertise, and then it's already a difficult match because you have all these people, and then you don't even know who's in it, or you won't. Maybe you know and you won't tell me. And it's just like, screw you, dude. Screw you. Like, you're my friend, but go fuck yourself.
Talking about your run on the Texas independent scene, Mr. Palmer, describe some of the best promotions that you were working for and some of, like, the experiences that you had that you basically, in the long run, name the top 2 or 3 promotions you really enjoyed working for and for what reasons.
Okay, so in Texas, Inspire Pro is my favorite. It's the one I have a lot of help putting on. Like, I'm not a booker or a writer or anything like that, but of the few wrestlers that they will stop and listen to, I am one of them. But I have a blast there, man. And I know a lot of people, like, hear about Wrestle Circus because, you know, they hire a bunch of famous indie names, crazy matches, and they, you know, they throw money at the show, and the fans love it. And they really try to pour their hearts out for those fans, but I like the Inspire show far more because it actually develops more younger talent, local talent, instead of just heightening, hey, here's this indie guy you wanted to see. I really enjoy that kind of stuff. And like the moments I have there, like I've gotten to wrestle like Masada because Teddy Hart didn't show up. I guess he got injured the night before. And so I literally, in jeans and a shirt, Masada calls me out saying, hey, Matt, you're my replacement. You're Teddy's replacement. It's like, okay, I'll go wrestle Masada impromptu. Thanks. And then, like, there's a guy named Steve-O Reno challenging for his title. And it was just this hardcore street fight match. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do some cool shit. And I pull up the canvas, and I pull up the mat underneath, and I just, like, let's wrestle on the bare wood. I took a powerbomb on cinder blocks and kicked out, I want to point out, on the following pin. Fuck you, Steve.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. And it was just, like, those are moments that I like to save. You know, you can't go out there and do them every night, or I can't go out there and do them every night. Some guys are insane. But, like, I can tell a story to where, like, you hit that climactic moment in that story. And, like, there's so many, like, ups and downs, and that payoff is wonderful because it was not a story of a good guy versus a bad guy, but, like, a guy that was so prideful that it's his own detriment, you know? Like, kicking out after power bombs, and then, like, immediately after, my face gets caved in on cinder blocks over and over and over. And it was just stupidity and pride rather than just like, oh, he's a good guy and bad guy. It's a story that Inspire likes to tell. They like to take twists on certain tropes and certain storylines.
It's almost
like
as if, though... Oh, no, go ahead. I apologize.
Go on. No,
I was just
going to
say...
No, go on. What's the question?
No, I was just going to say... You know, when you see matches like that where, you know, they're going at it, you know, tooth and nail, hit for hit, and they get power bombed on center blocks, and they get power bombed on bare canvas, and you're like, nah, these guys, he's not going to be kicking out. And when he does kick out, it's almost as if his body does it out of reflex. It's not like he's trying.
Yeah.
It's just like, nah, dude, we've got a couple more bombs left in us, and your body just limply kind of like kicks out. And it's kind of funny. I have to say this right now. I'm watching as we're doing this interview. I have NXT in the background right now, and Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon are going at it at the training center. I just needed to say that real quick. They're beating each other's ass. But you know, it's awesome to see matches like that, to where it tells the story. The body tells the story, and it's as good. And when I heard you say Steve Marino, you guys have had more than just one match. You guys have had a few incredible, just all-out matches.
Yeah, and we wanted, I remember, because I think a lot of things had to change to make those matches happen. Like, it wasn't even supposed to be us. Some people got hurt, and then somebody quit or got fired. And so it was just, like, us, like, in this corner, and it was just Steve, myself, and the owner, Max. And I just go, what if we do this? And then that got the ball rolling for Max to start thinking of some stuff. And he goes, would you be willing to have a street fight match close to the anniversary of your last street fight match with Eddie Dalton? And I go, I don't want to do the same thing twice. And he goes, I really want that street fight match. You have to have it. Okay, fine, I'll do it. But we're going to add some twists to it. And so that's when I made them, like pull up the canvas and all that kind of stuff. It's like, if I don't want to do this, but if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Right.
And so, I mean, Steve's such a damn athlete.
Yeah.
Sorry,
he's
I had to put him over for a second. I mean, screw him, but I had to put him over for a second.
Forget that guy. I got to have him back on the show real time soon because he's lost an incredible amount of weight as well. I know that's just a random thing to say, but I've seen a picture of him, and it's not bad weight. It's just, you know, he's trimming out.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's always good.
Somebody sent me a photo of that match that we're talking about, and I'm looking at Steve, and okay. And then I saw him like 2 days later at the last Inspire show, and I was like, man, when did you get ripped? Like, what the hell happened? I'm over here, it's like I feel like I got fatter, and then he got ripped.
Now, I had to ask, because we got WrestleCon going on. Are you actually visiting New Orleans right now, or are you back in Orlando,
Dude, I am literally driving to New Orleans right now. You're on my car speaker. I just picked up the gear for Ember Moon's entrance for tomorrow, or for Saturday.
Oh, wow.
And, like, because our gear lady, the lady that makes both of our stuff, also makes, like, Roman Reigns' stuff and Bray Wyatt's and Jericho's. Like, so, like, she's super busy, and she was going to overnight it, and I was like, screw it, I'm already driving, just give it to me. So my trunk's loaded up with an assortment of attire, and so I'm making this nine-hour drive right now.
Dude, you're a lifesaver, man. That's awesome.
As you're driving to New Orleans, and you guys hit up the gas station, like, what is the first snack you guys are getting for on the road, or any sort of fruit with that, or just like some ice cream? Like, what's your road trip snack?
Dude, like, well, if she ever is on, she's never on the road with me anymore. She's the big shot. She can fly. So, like, at the time, years ago, we would just take our six-pack lunch cases and just pack up a ton of pre-made food. Now, I'll stop by a Wendy's, and I'll get, like, a spicy chicken wrap with only cheese or something like that. And if I go into a gas station, I have to get, like, a protein shake, and it's something that's, like, not too sugary, even though I want to stop and get just, like, a huge bag of Reese's or Skittles.
Yes.
It has to be I need carbs, just the way my body's made. So I need like a honey bun, but I have to scrape off all the stuff on top of it. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
the scariest
thing. That much sugar, dude. It's awful because I just want to eat the sugar, and I'm just like, no, I'm an athlete who has to be half naked in front of people, so I can't have this sugar. So like,
damn it!
I can't have the gut hanging too far past the tights.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and do the RVD thing and just wear the unitard, man. Forget what people think.
I
eat the honey bun, unitard.
I totally would, but, like, in my head from, like, these 11, 12 years of wrestling, like, that's the step you take when you're getting fat. And, like, in my head, like, I know that if I take that step, then I'm just getting
gone.
I'm just going to get fat. Like, that's just the way it is. I'd be like, screw it. Nobody's going to see it anyway. I'll wear a shirt. And then, like, I'll gain 20 pounds, and she'll look at me and is like, what's wrong with you?
Just, Jim, and be like, did Matthew Palmer just walk out in a muumuu? This is, no, this
can't happen. Oh, my God.
Anymore.
Well, you know, it's for some reason in wrestling, if you gain enough weight, even if it's just fat, you somehow become a strong wrestler. And so,
right.
Like, I couldn't tell you how many, like, bald-headed, goatee-wearing fat guys are, like, these, like, acting like they're giants. Like, dude, you're just fat. Like, what's, you can't move the same amount of weight as somebody as small as me. You're just a fat guy. It's like, but that's their character. So,
well,
like,
you know, it's amazing, though, what... It's amazing what a costume will do for fat as well. You can make fat look really good depending on what kind of costume
you're
wearing.
You get the right male corset and you got something special.
Oh, man. So what's the first thing, other than drop off, you know, the costumes, first of all, I got to ask you real quick. Can you give us a little hint of what the costume looks like? Just a little taste of what it looks like.
No, I can't. Oh, man. You want to talk about the biggest fight I would ever have with her is if I spoiled her new outfit.
Yeah, good point. I don't want to
she
throw you under the bus.
She would beat my ass. So, I know that it's not... Normally what she does is she loves, like, Game of Thrones and Assassin's Creed and things like that. And so she'll take small inspiration from that. Like, she had, like, a fur-looking one that everyone thought she was a werewolf for some stupid reason just because her last name's Moon. And then, like, it's like, no, it's inspired off of a wildling outfit. But she has to have color in it because, you know, it's required by WWE to have so much, you know, color and look.
Really?
So, like, this stupid cop up here doesn't know how to do a U-turn. You idiot cop.
Please
sorry.
Do not get pulled sorry. Over on pin the shoulders.
For talking
no, that
on
would
the
be hilarious. I would keep you guys on.
Yeah, for witnesses,
yes, officer,
right?
Don't shoot me. Yeah.
Please.
But this one I know isn't inspired by anything other than a cool design that she wanted to do. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. That's cool. That's awesome. Well, besides dropping off the costumes, what's the first thing that you're going to be doing other than preparing for any matches that you may have? Is there anything that you're going to, you know, go and check out for Matthew Palmer?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'll tell you right now, the first thing I'm going to do is the first thing I always had to do in Orlando, is I'm probably going to have to pick up Sami Callihan.
So, oh, shit. Him and his bat.
No.
Picking up the vendor, like... What's the first beer Sami Callihan's getting?
What's that? Say again.
If you pick up Sami Callihan in Orlando when you guys get there, and you, what's the first thing you guys do? Are you guys hitting up the vendor? Like, are you guys getting some beers? Are you guys? What's the first thing you guys all do together when you guys get to Orlando? Like, hit up the gym maybe, or you know, go somewhere to eat.
Yeah,
it's good vibes. There's so much to do, so it's
the
pretty.
That's really what it is. Is I just I get food, I try to hit a gym, and he'll usually want to get a gym too. But the main thing that we're looking forward to is for a couple of years we would get on WWE 2K17 or 18, whatever the hell number it is, and we would play our federation, Wrestle House Wrestling, and we play with our stupid ass characters that we made. So this time
That's awesome.
He's bringing his PlayStation. Bringing some controllers, we're finding some kids who talk some shit in Ohio about how good they are at the game, and we're gonna go beat their asses. And then later that night, because I'll be getting in the morning. Later that night, we'll go down, you know, Bourbon Street or whatever the hell tourist attraction, get some food, and I'll drink too much because I don't have to wrestle till noon Friday. And so, and like that's exactly what we're gonna do. I don't like seafood, so I got to figure out what they offer in Louisiana.
I think
lots of chicken. Though.
I think. Well, no, they've got deep fried bread balls. I hear that are really really good. That's the only thing that I
the hell is
heard
that?
That's not.
Is that
seafood.
A testicle? Are you trying to get me to eat a testicle?
Be careful. I'm just saying.
What is
you
a
never
red ball?
Know.
What kind of meat is the red ball?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's very succulent. That's all I know.
That's a big word.
Something tells me I'm going to stop by McDonald's and just get a chicken breast, no salad.
I still I think they still sell crawdaddies at freaking McDonald's in Louisiana. They may not.
Oh,
I don't know.
God, that sounds awful.
They are. It's literally they're literally just
you know
debugged.
We have it worse up in Canada with the McDonald's. They advertise the Big Mac with bacon, when in reality all you can do is just like add bacon to the fucking burger. And it's like it's the same thing, and it's just like they're promoting big posters outside promoting something because someone doesn't have the intelligence to add an item to a burger, so it's advertised here. So that's the mentality we're dealing with.
Well, I mean, I would rather have that mentality than the exact opposite of just like, hey, come in here and eat a steak. We're gonna throw a ton of crawfish on it.
Gross.
Oh, fuck.
That's gross. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she loves it. So, like, I got to come home to tons of crawfish because she's wanted to treat herself.
You know what the worst is, though, is the snails in the mollusk or what are they boiled? Oh, dude, fucking horrible, man. It's bad news. What is the deal? I have to ask real quick. I've never asked a wrestler this in like the couple of years that I've done interviewing. What is the deal with wrestlers and cats? Now, it's not wrestlers. Wrestlers seem to be, you know, pet people. Wrestlers seem to be cat people. Like, it just, you know, you never see a wrestler with their dog on Instagram or their fish or their snake. It's just always a cat. Is there a reason for that? Is there a joke?
Yeah,
the main
reason is because I can leave a cat for a day or two, and it's not going to eat all of its food in 30 minutes and then starve to death the rest of the time I'm gone. Like, I have a litter box that's set up to my toilet that's all – I don't have to touch it. It cleans itself. It flushes itself. And I got food that dispenses for the cat and water. Like, I could leave for a month, and that cat will be fine. Whereas the dog will die in a week. And so, like, the wrestler – So, like, I know tons of wrestlers, especially WWE wrestlers, that have been like, hey, we need you on this last-minute tour to Australia the night before, and they got to go. You know, it's 10 o'clock night, and they don't have any time to tell anybody, hey, come watch my dog.
So boom, cats are just like, see you later. You know, I kind of glorified it a little bit. I was kind of hoping, like, wrestlers had cats because, you know, maybe they get them at the beginning of the training, and every time, like, they go through a brutal session, they're just like, oh, tell themselves, oh, quit being a pussy. And the cat is a reminder of that, so they can just continue on to, you know, to the training. So it's now it's just so cats won't die.
I wish I could tell you a far more interesting story. Hold on a second. Stupid-ass journey just came on my... not stupid ass. I love Journey, but like.
I was gonna say, man, holy, you gotta get some hate mail for that one.
Oh no, I've come out to Journey quite a few times, so it's fun.
Especially this experience.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were to go to Comic Con, if you have gotten to Comic Con, if you haven't, what would you dress up as? And would it be a couple's affair, or is this something that you know, Matthew Palmer just likes to go and do?
It would totally be a couple's affair. If I had to dress up, I would dress up as Gambit because I love Gambit.
Very nice.
Screw anyone that doesn't agree. I love Gambit. Hold on one second. I'll put you back on the Bluetooth here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
All right, sweet. So, like, Gambit, maybe Ash from Evil Dead. Let's see.
That's
else?
Dope.
Before
or after?
Ash from Evil Dead's awesome. I would do both, honestly. I love Fat Ash. I love Fat Old Ash. He's my favorite of the two because I feel like I'm getting closer to him. So like, I like a character that's slightly racist and sexist, but totally the good guy. Because like it's charming to me that this guy has all these flaws that nobody else could pull off but Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, and everyone still like risks their life for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he's calling his Honduran sidekick, Mexican, the entire time. I was like, this guy's great.
Oh, yeah. I think they renewed for a couple more seasons. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think it went from Stars to straight to Hulu or to Netflix or something like that. So hopefully we'll see a little more Bruce Campbell be, you know, racist and shoot people with his shotgun.
He's actually who I inspired my current character at Inspire Pro after, because I announced myself as King of the Black Women,
And then, like, now I have, like, this racist towards Mexican lucha libre, like, stance going on right now.
That's so awesome. I love it, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. What,
that's awesome.
What's going on?
Like, literally, that, I've never heard it. Never heard of that before. Upon a situation like that, like, props to that. Props.
Oh, dude, like, it was so awesome because, like, I had a new manager, and she used to manage Keith Lee, and then Keith kind of moved on to do, like, you know, bigger and better shows. So I, like, kidnapped this manager and made her my own manager. And so we're backstage, and we're trying to figure out what cool entrance she could give me. And I knew my wife was watching. And so I said, hey, just call me King of the Black Women, just like half-ass joking. But I didn't make it to her in time before we'd walked out to say, hey, don't say that. I thought she got that it was a joke. So she says it. And, like, I couldn't tell you the fun reaction I got to that. And so that was fun. And then I immediately had to go backstage and, like, tell the owner. It's like, hey, I'm sorry. And he goes, no, dude, that's awesome. We want to make shirts. And I go, okay, you make shirts, but don't give me any money just in case this backfires. Like, I'm not taking any credit for this. I didn't say it. You made the shirts. I never said I was King of the Black Woman. She said it. And so
it needs to be a shirt, though.
Oh, it is. It is.
Oh, it is a shirt.
Oh. You can go and get it off of one of those crazy T-shirt places. I think the one Colt Cabana owns. Was it
okay.
What the hell is the name of that shirt? I don't make any money off it, so I don't advertise it. But I don't care. If you want to go buy it, go buy it. That sounds awesome.
That's your own risk, too, because not many people may know, you know, what that means. They'll just be walking through the mall and get sucker punched in the face.
Dude, the crazy thing is like for months they kept saying, hey, we're going to get these shirts made. We're going to get these shirts made. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So I show up to a show, and they say, hey, good news, we got the shirt made. Could you present them tonight? And I go, are you serious? And I go, yeah, what's wrong? And I go, it's Martin Luther King Day. It's literally Martin Luther King Day. It's like, I understand that it's a joke and I can play the character because my wife's black, so people that would know is like, hey, he's not actually racist. He's playing a character.
Right.
But, like, come on, dude, there's a line. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He goes, Matt. He goes, Matt, come on. Do it. It'll be awesome. And I go, fuck. All right.
Hello?
And I have no clue what I'm going to say. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you just got out for a second. I thought I lost you. You're good.
Okay. Sorry, I'm damn trees. So, yeah, I have no clue what I'm going to say, and I know she's watching with Veda Scott. They're at our house, and they're just chilling out watching it. And I told her, hey, I need you to watch this promo, and I want you to send it to somebody in WWE. Maybe I can get hired. And so she's watching it, and I just look dead into the hard camera, unzip my vest, and I go, Matthew Palmer, King of the Black Women. And I couldn't tell you how many black people just jumped up in the air and laughed their ass off. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just survived this. So I'm sure that some people were not laughing as hard, but there are quite a few regulars that had to come up to me after the show going, hey, we want a shirt. And I go, talk to somebody else. I don't own them. Get away from me.
The first thing that popped up in my head when you said that was Farouk popping out of nowhere and going, damn.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would have murdered me if he actually had popped up out of nowhere.
Right.
So, like, we do that, and the photo on the shirt is taken from a cover of a Conan comic book, and it's me. Well, it's Conan's body. Really, like this muscular body was my head, and I'm essentially holding a crude drawing of Ember Moon in my arms, like carrying her. I just captured her, and I laughed my ass off when I saw it. So when I came home, of course she loved the promo, and she sent it to one of the WWE people just to laugh at. She goes, I can't send it to like the real executives, they'll be so mad. But what upset me after all that work, that promo and that shirt, and somehow surviving a mob not attacking me, is that she wouldn't wear the shirt to the PC. She wouldn't go to the performance dinner with my shirt on. She goes, no, Matt, I won't do that. It's like, it's okay if you wear it.
That's the best.
You
Thank
know, Velvet.
And I
was going, no.
Oh, man, like, I got a few people were upset because they saw the photo, and one of the quotes was, does he think this is right this day and age? And I go, yeah, man, because, like, it's either wrestling is 100% real and you're going to be upset about it, or it's a TV show, which means I'm playing a character. And, like,
right.
I didn't see a whole lot of people giving a lot of shit to Deadwood because they were racist in the 1800s, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't see a whole lot of people getting mad at the bad guy played by George Clooney in a movie. You know, so it's like,
right.
Pick one. Pick one and leave me alone. And so, like, they would get mad, and all I would do is screenshot it and send it to the people at Inspire going, look what you started. People think I'm racist now, even though they have no clue who I am or my personal life.
Folks, I promise you, Matthew Palmer is not racist by any
means. Unless you think it's 100% real, and in that case, I am super racist. Whatever, just buy a ticket. Buy a ticket and watch me get my ass kicked. You'll be happy.
Exactly. Come have a good time. Enjoy the show. We don't bag on you for watching Melrose Place reruns. No, well, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
You know, this day and age, like, there's not a heel in wrestling that's a 100% heel, except for, say, like, The Miz, who does everything in his power to make you hate him. Because, like, now the heels have, like, little nuances where you like them. Because, honestly, if you describe any wrestler in wrestling, and if the first couple of words are, he's arrogant, then, like, that's not a character. That's
right.
Everyone in wrestling is. And so, like, the bad guys are just cool nowadays. So, like,
right.
How do you make a bad guy? Let's make him racist. So, like, you can't cheer the racist, but you can.
And that's what I really enjoy about, like, the 80s and, like, 70s, 80s, and 90s, like, wrestling product, not the racism, but, like, the fact that this was the wrestling business, and it was, not everyone was able to get into the wrestling business because of the wrestling business's reputation of hard work paying off in the long run. And, you know, I think nowadays that tradition sometimes carries on to some places, but it also doesn't carry on to certain places, if you could agree with that. So I think in those other older years, the good old days of the 80s and 90s, you know, just tradition was more practiced.
That's true. Yeah, like tradition, and I like the tradition of the old days as far as like getting work, getting experience, you know, traveling the road with guys, getting your ass kicked by the vets, coming up and learning how to really fight. I like the idea that you get booked on word of mouth rather than, like, somebody saw a GIF of the guy doing a 450. You know, because, like,
right.
You can throw a million GIFs of these guys doing crazy moves, but who the hell cares at the end of the day if everybody can do that now? Now
it's
like,
not in context.
Who's the best actor? Like, that guy can go out there and do a 450 in the opening 30 seconds of the match, and then the finish of the match is a schoolboy. Like, don't you think that's kind of going downward, guys? And, like, that's
not memorable at all, in my opinion.
It's not. But we're in gift generations where, like, if your social media gets tons of followers, it's because somebody saw you do a crazy thing. They posted a gif of you doing this new move. And, like, that's how you get followers. You can't watch my match with Steve-O in a Bear Wood and Cinder Block match and not get really angry as an old school guy because you're watching it out of context. That was 8 months of promos and matches to build that up to that moment.
Yeah. Right.
And so, like, you're not going to sit there and watch a 25-minute match on Twitter. You'd rather go and watch the flippy guy. And so, like, I like that tradition that is kind of gone out of style but I would like that to come back. I know a place like Revolver does that. They get word of mouth. Like, this guy's really good. He can do this. He can do this. He can do this. And most importantly, he can interact with the crowd. And I was like, all right, Sammy will be like, bring that guy in. You know, wrestling needs more athletic actors.
Right, and I'm sure from a business aspect as well, when that word of mouth happens, when you have a machine that works well, why change it? So, and of course, you know, you want that revenue to continue coming in. You want your fans to follow people, try to, because, you know, most promotions can't put on more than, you know, a couple shows a month. So the storyline is fragmented, of course, but the storyline kind of continues with the wrestler and the storyline that they continue with them to other promotions. So if you have a machine that's working really well and that word of mouth is like, hey, this guy's awesome, we should bring him in. It's important because that's a resume, and that's going to get a better show. That's going to get that revenue in. And so, I mean, hopefully, you know, you don't get stuck with guys that, you know, have had 2 weeks of training in the ring and have, you know, embellished a little bit, and they end up coming and hurting somebody, and the show is ruined for the night, and then, of course, you know, the fans have to go home. Maybe they don't have to go home, but...
No, I mean, usually the show goes on, short of somebody getting crippled or dying.
Right.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen a guy just get hurt, and just, like, he's gone for a while. So, like, you know as soon as you see, like, oh, his knee's gone. Like, he definitely isn't completing this match. Or a guy that had stingers or broke. I've seen a guy break his neck, and he finished the match, and then a week later we thought he broke his neck. But, like, nobody stopped. Like, that's our job. It's like, we're here to put on a show. It's much like theater. The show goes on. We have understudies.
Right.
And so, you'll get kids that'll come in, they'll lie and say they were trained by Lance Storm or somebody famous, and like, but they're just a backyarder. But like, we're also trained to handle that kind of stuff. So like, we can tell, like, wrestlers, real wrestlers know. Because like, you can see the footwork, you can see the way they talk, and they just the way they walk. Like, I saw ACH a couple weeks ago, and he was telling somebody, and I was just listening, and he put it perfectly. Like, you can tell the moment a guy walks around a ring whether or not he's going to be good. Like, you know guys, well, maybe not good, but you know that he shouldn't be in there. It's just the way it is. I mean, you get all these years of experience, and you just see somebody walk into the ring for the first time, and you just look at him going, nah, he's got two left feet.
Oh, okay.
You still have to have some natural ability. But, like, I can walk into a ring, and I can pinpoint the backyarder in a second. And I was like, oh, this guy has only been wrestling for, like, a year. Like, I don't care how good his gear is or how long his beard is. It's like, I don't care if he looks 40 years old. He looks like he's been working a year.
Now, when you guys do come across someone that has, you know, that kind of experience, do you kind of just shuffle him on the deck and kind of utilize him as maybe like in a squash match, or maybe utilize him as, you know, just maybe outside interference? How does that work? So when you do come across someone that you feel may not be able to lead the show properly or be part of the show properly?
Well, that's
you just say,
on the
fuck
booker
you, or...
promoter. No, that's on the booker promoter. But like, if he says, "Hey, Matt, you're gonna wrestle Joe Blow here, and you know I want 20 minutes out of you," and then like, after a while of talking to the guy or just seeing how he moves, I'll be like, "You're not getting 20. This guy's not safe." And that's the beauty of what we do, is that we could just be like, "Nah, we're changing this." Or changing on the fly. And then, like, you go to the back, and the promoter can be like, what happened? And be like, this, this, and this. And a good promoter would be like, ah, damn. All right, cool. No worries. But, like, wrestling is hard, man. Like, less people make it in wrestling than they make it in Hollywood. And so, you get in the way you can, any way you can. And so if some kid gets into wrestling, I'm not, well, myself and a lot of other wrestlers, we wouldn't blackball the guy. It's like, all right, but here, learn this way. We're going to show you some stuff.
Right. A hand up.
If he's a decent person, then yeah, we're going to be like, all right, kid, come here. We're going to teach you some stuff. Come get in the car with this guy. Go on, you know, go to a few shows with this guy. Come to training class with this guy. You know?
Okay.
I know a few guys that were making tons of money on YouTube doing backyard stuff, and they grew up. They're like 13 years old, and now he's a wrestler. I wrestled him, and he's athletic as hell. He's great. He can't wrestle for shit, but he is athletic as hell, and he's not going to hurt me. And so I was like, all right, cool. You can make money. You don't need to be Fit Finley to make money in wrestling because this great wrestler or brawler, you can do other stuff.
So
we're really open.
Right, you're always trying to find, you know, an open spot somehow. It's always nice to, you know, when someone is coming in that is new. No one wants to be bullied out of the locker room. They want to learn, you know, have that hand, not a hand out, but a hand up, if you will, and kind of just because, like you said, you see, a kid who's 13 years old. You may run into them again, you know, 5-6 years down the road, and they will remember, like, hey, Matthew Palmer was cool to me, and, you know, we're going to try to make a great match out of this. Stuff comes back to bite you in the ass is what I'm trying to say, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, but, like, it's never bit me in the ass, like, that bad, because I've been mean to some people before. Let's be honest. Like, everybody can be an asshole.
Right.
But I've been mean in ways of, like, I've chewed out a guy after a match to where he never wrestled again. And at first, when the guy told me, oh, he quit wrestling, like, he had just started, at first I was like, damn, I feel bad. And then I was like, no, screw that. I've been chewed out by guys who are far bigger than me and wanted to beat my ass, and I didn't quit. Like, that's part of the test. It's like, hey, do you really want this? And so
right.
He quit, and I go like, well, all I've done is made wrestling stronger, because you can't have somebody that's weak-minded. Like, that may come and bite me in the ass if he shows up 10 years from now and he's this great wrestler, and be like, ah, that sucks, man. Thank you for proving me wrong. Good on you.
Yeah, okay.
Like, nothing's going to bite me in the ass if I'm a young kid and I'm an asshole and I take my lickings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's that old school mindset, too, that I like.
And speaking of young kid, myself, I just started reffing and everything, and I've been training, and I've been really respectful with the veterans, and I like how you bring up the point of walking into a wrestling ring and finding out if they if you're fit for it or not. And I feel like if they're willing to give me more advice, basically, and give any other people aspiring to be in the business more advice and continue to invest, it really gives you a good feeling about the business and its purity and how you have to work towards something. And, you know, like, reffing the last 2 months, you know, it's been great. And my question to you in regards to that is, someone new in the business, I've been involved for quite a while, like, with managing and doing podcasts, but for a referee, just somebody greener than grass, what advice could you give to a youngster?
Okay, well, couple questions first. How tall are you?
I am 5'11".
5'11". Okay, so, like, if your end goal was to be in WWE, I'll tell you now, you're probably too tall, because they want guys that are short to make everyone look huge. That's the trick. Charles Robinson goes up to my shoulder, and I'm a short guy. You know, so, like, they don't want huge guys being refs, because then you're 5'11", and I walk into a ring with you, and I'm 5'8". No matter how muscular and how many lifts I get on there, I'm not going to be bigger than you. So you automatically dwarf me. which makes me look small, which some people look at going, the hell, this guy's a wrestler, he's a midget. And so that's what WWE looks away from. However,
and then that would not put you over as much as a baby face or a heel because I'm taller. I totally get that. I absolutely understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because like I could tell you there's a lot of wrestlers in there that you would have no clue that they were 5'10". You look them on TV and be like, this guy's got to be like 6'3", 6'4". And you look at them going, no, they're just in there with a referee and another guy that's close to their height. They never, like they'll purposely pair them with an announcer backstage that'll be short, or that person will be halfway doing the splits to make them look tall, you know. I'm giving away too many secrets, but like, I don't care. Okay, another thing is, you want to make sure as a referee, or any new person getting into managing a ref and reffing, is that you have to have as much physicality as a wrestler. Like, you're not going to get hit as often, but you have to have your cardio up. Because in WWE, TNA, and the major shows, reffing isn't your only job. A lot of those referees are in charge of building the set, setting up the ring, doing this and that backstage. It's like they've already put in an 8-hour shift at work before the show starts. And then they have to go out there and ref quite a few matches while talking on a headpiece, while conveying messages, while trying to keep up with these guys. And so you have to be in shape. Like, you can't just get a pot belly and be like, you know what, I'll be a referee. Because, like, there's a lot of those guys, if they remove those shirts, they're pretty ripped. There's some older guys that, like, they've gotten a little bit of weight on them, but, like, I guarantee you they could run an Ironman. Those guys are in shape. That's
wow.
One. Another one is you have to learn the lingo. Wrestlers, we all have this lingo. We have this jive that we just talk to each other in. And I'm not talking about just, like, carny phrases that some smart marks will pick up. There's a lot of stuff that we just, like, will call on the fly, and it's like, it's just this word, and but the other guy gets it.
Okay.
You have to learn that, too, because a good referee isn't a guy who just stands there or counts the shoulders when they're down. They have to find a way to help convey the story of the match, pass messages along from the wrestlers, and also not be noticed by the fans at the same time. It's literally the hardest job in wrestling when done right, with no fanfare. And so, like, I recommend is learning a lot from wrestlers. Like, maybe go to training classes with wrestlers. Go to a proper wrestling school that has a name and etiquette. And then, like, working out. Like, you have no choice. You don't have to get big and bulky and have 24-inch pythons. But, like, you got to be able to, like, work a match or two or three or four that can go up to 30 to 40 minutes without getting tired. If you get tired, holy shit, you're just going up and down a few times.
Right.
There's that. So there's all that. And also, a big thing a referee needs to learn, which is lost on the indies, is that you also have to work with your floor cameraman. You can't block a camera shot and send your cameraman scurrying around you because you decide you want to stand in this specific corner away from the action. You have to be aware of your surroundings, of like, oh, the camera three is over here in this corner, and camera four is picking up this guy doing an acai moonsault. I can't block camera three who's getting that long-distance shot while camera four is getting a close shot. I got to get out of the way, but I also got to stay out of the way of the wrestler. I know I'm throwing a lot at you.
I was going to say, that is like a huge amount of responsibility for just one person to have.
But the thing is, I'm willing to put in that effort and put in that feedback. It's great just to get that feedback and make it, you know, something to work on, because when I accomplish that and get better and better, I thank everyone who gave me the advice to help me transition to that, and hopefully the journey begins, and it's going to be great. So I do appreciate the advice. I really do appreciate it, sir.
Oh, of course. And one more bit of advice. What I recommend is, if you're not going to be a wrestler in the wrestling business, then I recommend learning every job that you can. because if you just want to be a referee, that's, I mean, hell, I just told you how hard it was to be a wrestler, to make it on the, you know, on the big leagues. It's 8 times harder to be a referee that makes it. But
right.
If you can commentate, if you learn how to work sound, if you know how to be a proper cameraman, you know, you have so many ins to get into, you know, the big leagues or to make the real money instead of be like, hey, I'm just a referee. Because a lot
make
of promotions, especially anything. Yeah, they're dispensable. Like, I can get a student to be a referee because he already knows a little bit about wrestling. He already has good cardio, and he knows a little bit about the jive. And so, like, I can get a student to be a referee, and I'll have a plenty amount of those that I can just keep rotating. But I don't have a trustworthy student that can do commentary, that knows how to do proper play-by-play and proper color. And so, like, if you learn that, and you can manage, and you can be a referee, then, like, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be picked up by, you know, an ROH, TNA, WWE.
Wow, that's
so, yeah,
greatly appreciated.
There's
my long-winded promo, sorry.
Definitely
no,
got a long
man,
way to go, but I'm looking forward
hey,
to it.
Hey, we appreciate all the advice that we can get from someone that is, you know, been in the trenches, for lack of better phrasing. We have to ask you, sir, you know, how about we, before we, you know, say goodbye to you tonight, sir, and, you know, thank you very much for being on, by the way. We have to ask, what is going on with you this weekend? Tell the folks at home what's going to be happening with Matthew Palmer in the ring and where we can find you on social media. And then, of course, we have to ask, what is Matthew Palmer's second road story for Pin the Shoulders podcast?
Yes, sir.
I have a good road story. I don't have a good road story. Like, I drive
no
by
road
myself
story.
Listening to my... Well, I like to ride by myself and listen to my D&D audiobooks because I'm a loser. And so, like, there's no cool
Wait,
road
D&D?
Story. Oh, dude, I love Dungeons & Dragons. And guess what? So does Ember Moon. So does A-Train. So does all these dudes. Like, I love it.
Wait, you say audiobooks. Like, they have audiobooks?
Dude, there's, like, 30 audiobooks that I've somehow gotten through over the years that I'm listening to, like, the newest ones. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's hundreds of them. Like, I just got done listening to Harry Potter for the 12th time, right after I got done listening to the Fire and Ice storybooks for, like, the 8th time. So, like, yeah, dude, I'm a huge nerd, and I just listen to those audiobooks.
Fantastic. We're going to have that. The third time that we have you on the show, we're just going to have to cover, you know.
Screw wrestling. Let's just talk nerd shit. Wrestling's dumb. Let's talk D&D.
When you come on, we'll just be like, are you still wrestling? Yes. Okay, cool. What's happening at Comic-Con in Los Angeles this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I would dress
up
like my D&D character if people would get it. Okay, quick. Let me advertise these matches. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Friday at noon, I will be in a scramble match for Crash. It's going to be at the Sugar Mill. Saturday at, I think, 11 a.m., I believe the doors open at 11 a.m., I will be at Pancakes and Tile Drivers. And guess what? Another scramble match. 8 or 9 guys. I don't know who's in it. It's going to be crazy as hell like it always is. After that, I will be attending Takeover to support Ember Moon beating Shayna Baszler's ass. And then after that, I'm going to watch WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania weekend. Why the hell not?
Exactly.
Now, you can contact me or follow me on social media. My Instagram is Palmer is Lost. All one word, Palmer is Lost. And my Twitter is twitter.com/Palmer is Lost. Super simple. I put Palmer is Lost because I'm just meandering through wrestling.
Bada bing, bada boom, folks. I had to say thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I hope you know, continue driving safely, listening to your D&D, and make sure that those costumes make it to the proper hands. And we cannot wait to see what Ember Moon's costume looks like. And I had to ask you one last time. Do you have any message for the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper? Because I know when he made that comment on Twitter.
He's a piece of shit who hides behind social media. I'll kick your ass when I see you, Phil. If you weren't crippled, I'd beat your ass.
Oh, no. Well, sir, Mr. Palmer, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back on. Can't wait to have you back on again. And have a safe trip and enjoy our New Orleans.
I will. Thanks again, guys. I can't wait for the third
enjoy,
time.
Sir. Have a great night.
You too. Later.
And here is a message from our home, thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, you just missed the interview, a second interview. I love saying that because I enjoy when we have guests come back on the show and tell us how things are going. I love progression stories. We just had Matthew Showtime Palmer on the show telling us what's going on with him, you know, going from Texas and working with Wrestling Circus and moving to Orlando and doing his thing there, pancakes and pile drivers. And a cool little thing is he is on the way to New Orleans right now, WrestleMania, WrestleCon, all that fantastic stuff that I'm actually drooling at the mouth about right now. He has the costumes of Ember Moon, the NXT Women's Champion, in his car right now, and he's driving. I think he said Roman Reigns as well, didn't he, JR?
He did. He certainly did. And this has never happened, at least in my sake of things, from my entire wrestling podcasting run, the fact that someone has done a live show in their car while driving to New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend. Like, that is one of the coolest thing. That'll never happen again on a podcast. That's a one-time thing. It's great to have that happen. It's a good experience. And to soak in that knowledge that he provided to me as an aspiring referee and a journalist and a manager and an aspiring wrestler and all those things, I take in all the advice I can get. And definitely, it's not much better to learn from somebody like him. So, what an honor to have him on the show, and hopefully he can be on sometime soon.
Absolutely, and hopefully we can have the King of the Black Women back on again and talk about.
Black Women.
I love it, man. I really want one of those shirts if I wasn't afraid to get my ass kicked. But you know, once again, thank you to Matthew Palmer, folks. If you have not listened to this live recording of the interview with Matthew Palmer, of course, you can go to our home, thechairshot.com, and check out all the past episodes and tonight's episode, along with, well, you heard the commercial. We have everything at thechairshot.com, and it's your one-stop site for everything pro wrestling, and I promise you, we don't skip a beat, and you'll be happy. So follow us, subscribe to us, make comments, and do your thing, because there's a lot of people right now that are working hard to make thechairshot.com the number one site in the world for professional wrestling. But anyways, I digress. You know what? This is WrestleMania weekend. We all know what's going on with WrestleCon. Everything's cracking. Like Matthew Palmer said, there's pile drivers and pancakes going on. Wrestling Revolver's putting that on at WrestleCon. Lucha Crash is there. I mean, everything is happening at WrestleCon. But, of course, the granddaddies, the monster that's going on is, of course, WrestleMania. You know what, folks? I feel I'm kind of in the mood because we still have an hour left on this live broadcast. I think I'm just going to go – if you want to join me, JR – go through the matches that are going on with WrestleMania and give a serious Brad and the round table predictions on who's going to win. Are you down, dude?
I am down, sir. You can read all the matches. I will base my prediction on them and keep track of them. You know, we'll see who gets the higher score in the end.
Cool, man. Sounds good to me. So I'm actually going to go, and this is courtesy. I should be going to the WWE.com, but this is the first thing that popped up. It was the CBS.com, so courtesy to CBS.com. Make sure I'm writing this all down. But the first match we're going to talk about is, of course, the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar, the champion, versus Roman Reigns. What do you feel is going to happen with this match?
Yeah, we talked about it on previous shows where Roman Reigns was basically shoved into the fans' faces and overhyped and stuff like that. And I was actually watching the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar match. And I understand that Goldberg is older, but I wasn't a really big fan of that WrestleMania match, and I thought it could have been much better, probably a 3-star match out of 5. And looking at this match, I just don't see the chemistry, for some reason, of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns working. It's going to be a good match, but it's not going to be the match to seal the show, basically. If I have to predict the winner, in everyone's world, you know how WWE is, the WWE imposed curveballs, but I'm going to have to say Roman Reigns is coming out of WrestleMania as champion. It's just extremely predictable at this point.
I have to agree with you on that. And that's one of the reasons why I got it out of the way, because that is definitely one of the most predictable outcomes out of any match happening with WrestleMania, considering that Paul Heyman pretty much cut a promo that strongly suggested that after WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar is going to continue on with his UFC career. I mean,
yeah,
it was very blatant. So, I mean, it's really hard to not say, hey, Roman Reigns is taking it. And not to mention the power shift that happened 2 Raws ago, last Raw, where Roman Reigns put like 7 or 8 Superman punches down on Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns, I'm going to have to go with you on that one. Roman Reigns as well. So we'll move on.
But I'm not like, and the thing is too, before you go on to the next match, is that the lead up to WrestleMania on Raw as of late hasn't been the greatest. And we'll talk about that going on through the matches.
Oh yeah, lackluster, real bad. I'm excited about WrestleMania, as anyone is. You could not watch football all year, but as soon as you hear Super Bowl, you get excited. I want to watch it, but at the same time, I feel like it could have been pushed a little bit more. But of course, you know, there's been so many injuries that it's hard to, you know, properly put the right exposure on what match, you know what I mean, is going to be, you know,
exactly,
paid attention to the most. So anyways, we're going to move on to what I feel is going to be the show stealer, the show keystone, if you will, is the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to go ahead and give my predictions right now, right out the bat. I think they're going to give it to Shinsuke. I think Shinsuke is going to go heel, man. I think it's going to happen. I don't know. AJ Styles did that thing on SmackDown where he did the infamous Japanese insult of giving Shinsuke a pat on the head after showing that he almost got knocked out.
And you've seen at the end with his face there. I think they kind of hinted a little bit at that heel turn.
Exactly.
So I would not be surprised if that was the case this Sunday.
So is Shinsuke going to be your choice as well?
Shinsuke is going to be my choice, basically. You look at AJ Styles. He had a few title runs, but to see Shinsuke, he hasn't had the belt yet. The lead-up just is basically pointing an arrow towards Shinsuke Nakamura, and I believe that's going to be the winner.
There it is. Ronda Rousey versus Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. I should have waited to the end of the predictions to talk about this one, because to be honest with you, I feel like this is the match that has been promoted the most, that has been built the most. And I won't lie to you, I'm actually kind of excited to see more so Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon go at it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker between Triple H and Kurt Angle. I think there's going to be some spots that are going to be epic with those two. If anything, it's going to be excited to see, you know, two veterans, two legends in the ring again, doing their thing. But the Ronda Rousey and the Stephanie McMahon thing, I'm really looking forward to. I want to see a good, I'm not going to say catfight because that's fucking insulting, but I want to see a good, you know, two very fit and capable professional wrestlers go at it. And of course, I want to see where Ronda Rousey is. I want to gauge Ronda Rousey as everyone in the world wants to at this
point.
She's been suffering a little bit. Yeah,
millions
exactly.
Among millions. It's just, this is going to be huge because you're looking at one of the biggest stars, female stars in UFC, and it's just, you know, when you take that sharp turn in the world of sports, and for her to take that sharp turn to WWE from the UFC after that loss to Holm, this is huge. This is gonna revolutionize the wrestling scene if done correctly.
I'm gonna have to go with, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I think this is gonna be a power push. I think this is gonna be something that's gonna set up the storyline further. If no one noticed, the naughty, dirty word, the authority, I can't even say the word right now, was used on Raw. I think that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are going to win this match. I think the authority is going to come back full fold, and I think they're going to continue on the storyline of trying to put their thumb on Ronda Rousey and hold her down. So I'm going to go with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H for the win on this one.
Exactly, and you hit the nail right on the head where you see, if it's Stephanie McMahon and Triple H involved, you know for a fact that something's going to go down. They have something in their bag of tricks. They are going to be your winners. However, this storyline is going to be further extended. The big question is, what is in the future for Ronda Rousey and the WWE after WrestleMania?
A lot of ass kicking, I hope. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. So I don't know if this is still true or not. Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
You're looking at, this is, I like how this match is. I could go on for 30 minutes about this match, but you look at this match, they all started together on the same like level, independent promotions in their territory. For them to work in Ring of Honor together and have that history, and now see them, I don't know, you watch affiliated baseball, right?
The what now?
Like you watch affiliated baseball, like single A, double A, triple A.
I mean, every once in a while, yep, sure.
Yeah, you look at this like affiliated baseball, you see them compete at the A level, but they work their way up, starting from Ring of Honor to make it to the
right.
WWE, that's huge. And for this to be showcased at WrestleMania and the feud that they're having on SmackDown with his return, it was just planned so well to pick a winner of this match. We're going to have to say Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn just because of the way I see the buildup happening. But it's well done. This is a well done storyline. And it definitely has a lot of history, and it's going to be great to see this Sunday.
I think it's going to be a good match. I'm going to have to go with Brian and Shane. And let me tell you what's going to happen with that, though. I think Daniel Bryan and Shane are going to win, but I also think that when that match is won by Daniel Bryan, I think Daniel Bryan I like heels, people. You know this. Ever since Sirius Brad has started live broadcasting, I have said I like heels, and I like heels with championships. Those are the things I love to say. I think Dan O'Brien is going to turn heel after he wins the match against Shane McMahon. I think he's going to possibly join down the road Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I don't know how it's going to work out. Maybe at the end of the match, Shane McMahon tries to do something else to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and Daniel Bryan tries to stop it. I don't know. But at some capacity, I feel that Daniel Bryan will turn heel and turn on Shane McMahon. So I think they're going to win, but I think there's going to be altercations at the end of the match. So I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon for the win. So we actually, for the first time,
very well
have a disagreement on the win. So Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for JR, and then we got Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon for that match. And now we got the women's SmackDown Championship. Of course, my lady, we already know who I'm picking. Charlotte Flair versus, unfortunately, you know, I like her as much as I like my Flair, Asuka. Who do you think is going to take that? I mean, it's almost, you almost want to say it's almost obvious. And I'm picking Charlotte. Okay?
For
I love
one,
Charlotte, but Asuka's undefeated.
You know what? Exactly on that. You say Charlotte, and I'm going to agree and say Charlotte as well because of the fact of one thing. This streak was so hyped on Raw. This streak has been put over since she's been in WWE for months. So you look at this undefeated streak, like 260 days, is it, or something?
Yeah.
It has to end eventually. What goes up must come down. Even Andre the Giant was defeated. So
Right. Where
else would it be a better place for her streak to end at WrestleMania? And for that reason, I choose Charlotte for that. Pretty much well said. I totally agree with you as well, especially on the previous prediction. But for this one, I see Charlotte Flair ending this streak.
Man, that'd be so sweet, dude. I would get
It'd
goosebumps.
Be historical as well. So.
Yeah, and Sirius Brad might actually shed a tear. I will go live on media and show you my tear if that happens. No, I won't cry. I won't do it. But I will be happy. Raw's Women's Championship, my other lady, my Raw flagship lady, Alexa Bliss, the championship versus the unstoppable force, Nia Jax. Here's my thought. Alexa Bliss is an amazing champion. We all know this. She's, especially for her size, pound for pound, one of the best women's champions that WWE has produced. With that being said, WWE has also been spotlighting bullying. WWE has a no tolerance against bullying. They have had Alexa Bliss constantly nagging about, obviously, Nia Jax's weight, not being able to fit in when she was younger, just constantly picking at those things and elevating the bullying to another level and obviously spotlighting that. So I feel that due to that, Nia Jax is going to win that belt from Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania. I hate to do it. Blasphemy. I know, folks. Forgive me. Do not send too much hate mail. But I'm going against my lady Alexa Bliss this weekend and picking Nia Jax as the winner of the Raw's Women's Championship.
That's a really great prediction, and I like how you brought up the point about the anti-bullying, because that would definitely send a message and that would inspire people from around the world to prevent bullying, stop bullying, and speak up if you are a victim of bullying. And people listening to this show, if you're getting bullied, you know, talk to somebody about it. It's something a lot of people go through. So if that's something you're experiencing, I'm not going to have like a whole like talk about this, but you know what to do. You know what to
yes.
do, and it's always important to be safe and treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And I really like how you bring up that Nia Jax prediction, as I personally haven't thought of that situation. But Alexa Bliss, I think she's had a great reign as women's champion. and I don't think it's over just yet. And for that reason, I think that she is going to retain the title at WrestleMania. However, she might lose it a few pay-per-views after.
There it is. Alexa for JR and Nia for Serious Brad. Now we're going on to what I feel is the second match that will be talked about after WrestleMania is the Intercontinental Championship, The Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. Now, here is another Serious Brad heel turn prediction, or heel return, as I like to say, because, you know, once you're a heel, you always go back, you know, as I say. Finn Balor's taking it, man. And Finn Balor's going to go full heel at WrestleMania to get that. So that's my prediction. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's part of, you know, the Balor Club, whatever he's doing. Maybe that's going to be part of it. I don't know. But I think he's going to do something that's a little shiesty to get it. But I feel that Finn Balor is definitely going to be the new Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to say the Miz on this one, and for this reason, I think because Finn Balor, I thought about that, you know, the whole heel turn, stuff like that, but we've seen that happen before with Seth Rollins. He won the tag team titles not more than recently. It wouldn't make any sense in the storyline to have him with the Intercontinental title, so I just, for that, for those two reasons, I can pretty much predict that I think The Miz is going to retain on this one. It's one of the toughest matches on the card to predict, but I have to go with my gut, and that's The Miz.
All right. The U.S. Championship. Of course, we got Randy Orton, which awesome. Randy Orton now is holding all, has held all the belts in the WWE. That makes me just,
that's a,
you
huge
know,
achievement.
That's awesome, dude. That's amazing. That's
good for,
you know,
him too. You know, he can say he's done it all in wrestling now.
Exactly, exactly. And hopefully, hopefully we see more from Randy Orton. But at the same time, it's just like, if I was him, that's like the ultimate, like the optimal time to be like, all right, it might be time to hang up the boots. I don't know. He's probably got at least 10 years left in him, 10, 20 years left in him. I mean, he's fucking amazing shape. But U.S. Championship, Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal, the Maharaja, and then Rusev. This is really hard.
Very hard. Another
this
tough
is
one.
Really hard.
Tougher than the Intercontinental one, actually.
Very hard. It's very hard because I'll be honest with you, every single one of these guys, I know people don't, there's certain people that, you know, maybe dislike them more than others. Of course, it is. It's professional wrestling. That's just the way it goes. But I feel that Bobby Roode's going to take it back, man. I think people really enjoyed seeing Bobby Roode as the U.S. champion. And, I think that he has the chops to kind of continue pushing that title. And I say that because I think that Bobby Roode can do for the U.S. Championship what Miz has done for the Intercontinental Championship. Not to say that none of the wrestlers that have held the U.S. Championship have made it prestigious. You know, John Cena did it, you know, with the open challenge. AJ Styles, of course, you know, holding it, has done a lot. And, of course, all their predecessors before them have done something for the U.S. Championship. But I think Bobby Roode, being a young talent, incredible shape, awesome on the microphone, excellent ring awareness, entrance on point, I think that he could take that title and elevate it the way it needs to be and, you know, put it in the place that Miz has done with the IC title. So I'm going to go with Bobby Roode with the win on this one.
I can pretty much agree with you. You look at Bobby Roode and you look at his, he's very new to the WWE, came up from NXT.
And his, look at his run in TNA. Look at the history, the legacy he's created outside of WWE prior to his arrival. So I think they want to make Bobby Roode a star, and WrestleMania is the better place, biggest place to do it. There's so many other scenarios for those three other competitors, but if I had to choose, I just can picture Bobby Roode winning it back at the grandest stage of them all.
Well, there it is. There it is. All right, Bobby Roode for both of us. Let's go ahead and hit up the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. Or as I like to say, not the Hammer Bros. I forgot what they're called. It's the Hammer Brothers. Off of Mario Brothers 3 or whatever. I forgot what it's called, but they just every time I see them, they remind me of Mario Brothers 2, that boss, you know, the Hammer Bros or whatever it is. I'm totally going off subject, and most people probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I could agree with you. I could see the same resemblance.
I'm going to go with I think the Bludgeon Brothers are just sprinkled in there for a flavor and effect, to be honest with you. I don't think they're ready to be pushed as tag team champions, so I'm pushing them to the side. I think it's going to be one of those epic battles between New Day and the Usos. And, I won't lie to you. I think the New Day is going to take it. I think they are.
I think the New Day and the Usos are going to take out the Bludgeon Brothers, like, in the beginning of the match. And then there's going to be another spot where they do that again, and then they fight it to the end, and then the Usos retain the title, and that's my prediction for that one.
Usos. All right, Us. We got the Usos over here. Now, here's my favorite, dude, and this is what I'm looking forward to. I really want to know who is going to be Braun Strowman's partner. We talked about this already. The Bar versus Braun Strowman and to-be-determined tag team partner. First of all, Strowman's going to take the damn belts, okay? I don't know who his tag team partner is going to be. I was talking to somebody, actually. I was in Walmart today, and I was talking to one of my favorite people that work at Walmart. Patrick, if you're listening right now, friend, how's it going, dude? You're one of my favorite people at Walmart, but we were talking about this match, and he actually said something that gave me chills, because it would have been absolutely friggin' perfect. He had said that Rey Mysterio was going to be the one to be Braun Strowman's partner, but unfortunately, as we all know, Rey Mysterio has suffered injury, and he won't be...
again. Another injury.
Again. It's horrible,
that's
dude. It sucks.
Very unfortunate. That's terrible news.
I don't know what the extent of it is. Maybe he can come back. But that would have been a sweet fucking partner for Braun Strowman. So shout outs to Patrick at Walmart, dude. Thank you for giving me those goosebumps. That gave me a little bit of hope. But I still think Braun Strowman's going to win it. And as far as his partner goes, I think Big Show might be one of the people that could be his partner. That would be just an unstoppable team. But I think what they're going to go shoot for, if you will, is a partner that is completely opposite of Braun Strowman, like they were going to do with Rey Mysterio. Someone's a little more agile, a little more flexible, so you kind of have that yin and yang feel with this tag team. Seth Rollins would be an absolute awesome pick for it. But we'll see. Let's not ruin the surprise too much. At WrestleMania, I think Braun Strowman's going to take a couple straps on with him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can agree. Braun Strowman is going to pick a blockbuster partner. It's going to change the friction of the match, and there's going to be new tag team champions.
There it is. Cruiserweight. Because right now, I don't think it's the finals of the tournament to determine who is going to be the Cruiserweight champion. And it's between Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. Two incredible athletes. Enjoy watching them in the ring. every single time that they're in the ring. I don't think I've ever seen a match with these two involved that have been lackluster. But which makes this decision incredibly difficult. But I'm going to have to go with my man Cedric Alexander on this one. I really enjoy him. Mustafa Ali is awesome, but I just don't think he's the face of cruiserweight quite yet. So I'm going to go with Alexander, Cedric Alexander on this one.
I could see Mustafa winning it. However, you look, he's from Chicago. They bill him from Chicago, Illinois. So if they wanted to maybe use a gimmick that resembles Jinder Mahal or something, because WWE has expanded in India and the Middle East, and the market there is huge, if not bigger than it is here in Canada. More people in the Middle, it's a crazy statistic. There's a lot of people that watch it. So the only reason I could see him winning it is if they're going to go something towards that route. My prediction, that's the way it is usually with WWE. Not usually the way it is, but you've seen scenarios happen like that before. But I don't see that happening. That's a what-if situation. So I'm going to say Cedric Alexander is going to retain. Like, this is his time. He's done it before, and he's proven to be the headpiece of the cruiserweight at this point, basically the golden stone. He is at the top, and at WrestleMania, I predict that he will stay at the top, unless WWE is looking to do something to expand. That would be the only reason.
Right. Now, those are the main matches that we actually have. Well, that's not true, because we have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is really hard to predict because they've only got a few names announced for Dolph Ziggler, Matt Hardy, The Revival, Mojo Rawley, Baron Corbin, Goldust, Ty Dillinger, and Breezango. Those are the names that are announced for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle. But is there any off-kilter predictions that you may have, maybe just a random person that might win this Memorial Battle at WrestleMania?
They don't have the Matt Hardy Bray Wyatt match anymore for that. They did that on Raw. They did the final deletion, but I guess that was
Assuming. Yeah, it was, because he got Bray Wyatt got thrown into the water of reincarnation, or the river, or the lake of reincarnation. And I think that's what
it kind of goes to is my prediction here, because Matt Hardy has momentum. He just finished off a successful storyline. So who else would it be with his momentum and the whole gimmick, the ultimate deletion, which is great? I'm not going to imitate. I can't do it right now, but I do it at work sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Yes!
I just see it, man. I just see it happening again at WrestleMania. Like, the Hardy boys are looking at Matt and Jeff. They're such two great athletes, and that's the reason why they're still wrestling in 2018 is because they continue to go and go and go and not just go. Do it successfully, and Matt Hardy is a good choice, in my opinion, to win this Battle Royal just because of the momentum going his way. However, I do want to put out there that I would have loved to see the Ultimate Deletion segment with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania instead of Raw. I think that kind of ruined it just 10% of a little bit, if not that. But it just they could have done a little bit later, in my opinion.
And maybe, and hopefully, depending on what the numbers were for that match, for that specific segment, maybe something will become of it. Maybe they'll actually plan something a little more. Maybe the storyline of the reincarnation, the deletion of superstars will continue on, and something epic will happen down the line, because I enjoy the hell out of it. I really enjoy the whole Broken Universe, so... You know, please continue doing it, WWE. Allow Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy to elevate what they have to the fans. But my predictions on the Andre. So you're going to go with Matt Hardy on
I'm
the
go with Matt Hardy on this one.
Okay, all right, we're going to go with Matt Hardy on this one.
He will delete everyone.
Yes. I'm going to go with. I think Jeff Hardy's going to come back. So I think we're going to go with Jeff Hardy for Serious Brad and Matt Hardy for JR. That's my off-kilter prediction. I don't know what his – I know he's come across some, you know, some incident with being pulled over or whatever, but hopefully that doesn't hold him up. I think he's I don't know if he's been cleared or not. But I want to see him come back. So I'm going to go with Jeff Hardy to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, Matt Hardy for JR, and then of course, you know, we've got the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal as well. So we need to get the predictions on that. Do you have any predictions for that other than the announced contestants, which are Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Natalya, and then the Riot Squad, which is Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and then what's her name?
Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan, thank you. Any one of those girls to win it, or do you have someone else that you think will take it?
You look at the SmackDown, sorry, not the SmackDown, but the Women's Battle Royale. There's a lot of picks. That's another tough one. That's probably one of the other tough ones besides the Intercontinental and U.S. title match prediction. But perhaps Bayley or Sasha Banks winning and one of them turning on each other. That's my prediction. And I had to eventually choose, I'd say Sasha Banks. She might snap, man.
You know what, dude? I'm gonna go with you on that one as well. I think Sasha is gonna snap and turn heel. And you know, we could be totally wrong, dude. I don't know if anyone has noticed this or not. And you know, boo to Serious Brad for saying this, but it is what it is, and it's true. Bayley is not exactly top of the heap right now when it comes to her storyline and where they're going with her. And maybe it's time, folks, plug your ears for all the young kids at home that love Bayley and love the hugging. Bayley might be turning heel. Why not? Because they've got nothing else for her. So we might be completely wrong and have a 180 and see Bayley win this and turn heel and go nuts on Sasha. So, but I'm going to stick with Sasha. I'm going to stick with Sasha right along with you, JR, but I'm just letting everyone know, you know.
If she turned heel, though, would her theme be distorted? Would it be like her regular theme song, like distorted? Like, you know how Doink the Clown had his, when he was a heel, they distorted his theme. Could you just picture something like that? But that's a rarity. And I still stick with Sasha Banks for that match.
I can see it now. Instead of hugs, it'd be headbutts.
It would be headbutts and distortion and just...
Yeah, headbutts.
crazy.
It would be crazy. I would love to see what they could do with a heel turn with Bayley. I think they could actually do quite a bit. Now, the final storyline / possible match / WrestleMania moment / whatever the hell you want to call this desperate attempt, possibly John Cena calling out The Undertaker for WrestleMania and calling him a coward, blah, 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 blah. What do you think is going to happen with this? Do you think this is a cheap pop, or do you think this is going to pull The Undertaker to the ring at WrestleMania?
Come on, man. This is WrestleMania. We know, based on history and based on Cena giving it away, saying, oh, you're a coward. Like, who else wouldn't come out to that, especially in front of 80,000 people? The Undertaker is returning this Sunday at WrestleMania.
Okay. So I agree with you. So we both have yes on Undertaker showing up. Okay. My second thing before I ask who you think is going to win, is Undertaker going to come as the Dead Man Walking, or is he going to come as the Dead Man Inc. on the motorcycle?
Wow, that's a really good point. Good question.
He called him a bitch. He called him a bitch, bro. John Cena called him a bitch.
What
so,
we could
I mean,
see at WrestleMania is John Cena's old rapper gimmick against his old Undertaker's old badass character. You never know what will happen. But, yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. It's just tough. It's 50-50 because you look at the history with the American badass character, and that, but that ended a long time ago, and ever since WrestleMania has been a tradition with that character, would he be willing to end his career on those terms? Is this going to be his last WrestleMania? That question just unloads a series of questions, but if I had to choose, he might just come back as the Dead Man with a shade of maybe the American Badass gimmick.
Okay. I'm going to go full biker on this one. I'm going to put half and half for you.
But we need a final answer. We need a final answer. So I guess if I have to choose, I would say biker.
Okay, so we're both going for biker. And I think that John Cena is going to get his ass handed to him. I won't lie to you. I think it's going to be one of those things where Undertaker comes down on his bike, gives him a good beating, but somehow John Cena squeezes out a win on that's not going to happen. I'm going too far with this one. I think Undertaker's going to come down and whip his ass. That's what we're going with. Undertaker for the win. Complete annihilation, and John Cena is going to have to put his tail between his legs and show up on Raw and apologize. So, Undertaker for the win.
I agree. The Undertaker for the win on this one. It just, if it was with a younger star, like the Roman Reigns situation, we saw that coming. But, you know, we're talking about the guy who's been in the company only about, well, let's say, like 10 years after, and looking now, it's 2018, and how long he's been in WWE.
Right.
What else is left for him? I don't see anything building up from that point. The Undertaker, will this be his last WrestleMania? He's going to win this WrestleMania. That's my final answer. But what else is left in the tank after this WrestleMania for The Undertaker?
I have to agree with you, man. I have to agree with you. Maybe there is. He surprised us before. But you know what? I think this WrestleMania, it's going to be the sound of a Harley Davidson or a Titan bike being started up and coming down. And showing what hustle, respect, and loyalty really does mean when it comes to the WWE. Folks, that you just heard the predictions from myself, Sirius Brad, and Jordan J.R. Garber about what's going to crack at WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to it. Our guest tonight was Matthew Palmer, and I feel completely rude for not saying thank you to our sponsors. Of course, thechairshot.com. That's where our home is. That's where you find absolutely everything you can about professional wrestling, opinion columns, podcasts, everything. Our editorials, reviews, literally, we've got it all. Of course, Collar and Elbow. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Check out their new apparel. It's sick gear. Put in Sirius Brad as a promo, get that 10% off. And yeah, man, it's wrestling passion meets street fashion. And that's collarandelbow.com. Go check them out. And of course, Haikyuu Hydration Energy. Go check those guys out. Liquid Haikyuu, all natural energy drink, all the good, none of the bad, none of the crash. Squared Circle Apparel. What's up, Tim? You guys, summer's coming. You're going to need some hats. You're going to need some shirts. Tim's got a great line of baseball caps over there. SquaredCircleApparel.com. Put in a promo code SiriusBrad. Get 15% off. And, of course, last but not least, Grapple Merch. Go check out Grapple Merch. BigCartel.com. She's all sold out of her Grapple Box 6 right now. I think she's on. All sold out, but of course, be ready for Grapple Box 7, which hopefully will be coming out within the next couple months. She always has some great items that she's putting in there, and also she's working on a design for Pin the Shoulders podcast t-shirts. So hopefully we can get some t-shirts out to you guys in the future real soon. So shout outs to her. Put in Brad section for any item that you buy from grapplemerch.bigcartel.com and get some money off of the purchase there. And of course, our listeners at home, thanks for listening day in, day out, guys. We're rocking and rolling, trying to give you the best podcast that we can. I think we're doing a hell of a job, but you know what? Perfection is an ugly word, and it's an endless word, and we're going to continue to follow the path of that and give you the best show that we can each and every week. Mr. JR, is there anything that you would like to add before we say goodnight to these beautiful folks and say happy wishes and goodnight until WrestleMania?
That pretty much sums it up. What a great show. I'm looking forward to next week. WrestleMania is this Sunday. Don't be afraid to discuss it with me on Twitter at Jordan J. Garber for all the upcoming podcast information that I'm doing, upcoming shows that I'm refereeing. It's going to be great. 2018 is already a great year of wrestling for me, and I cannot wait for the good times to continue. WrestleMania this Sunday and a great podcast tonight. I can't wait till next week. It's going to be great.
Damn, Skippy, folks. And next week, if you don't know, we are having Death by Elbow, JT Dunn, back on the show to tell us what's going on with him and how it was to be in the ring recently with the Belt Collector, Double A, Austin Aries, or A-double, excuse me. I don't say Double A, it's A-double. Austin Aries and everything else that he's done throughout the United States. Folks, this has been Pin the Shoulders podcast from Sirius Brad and the Round Table. Have an awesome night. And remember, it is never a bad time to be serious.